Mercer and Auglaize counties.
Good afternoon, Grand Lake region, with another edition of Spectrum on this Wednesday, February 25th. We have sitting with us, he's no stranger to baseball, but it is his first year as Greenville's head varsity baseball coach, Chad Henry. Chad, welcome into the studio here. Appreciate you having me, bud. It is very exciting. Me being a former, you know, player underneath you, to then see you get, you know, selected as the new head coach, just with your history of baseball, is like, that is a great selection.
I hope so. I've been around. I've been working with Greenville athletes for a long time. I was fortunate. I coached with Ryan Feely back. We had a good 5-year run together, and we've had a lot of influence and had some good teams with Greenville. And then I stepped away to be a father and be a little league coach. But, you know, coming back, I was still working with Greenville athletes, and we were able to have a lot of success together.
And prior to the Greenville job, you've spent some time with American Legion Post 140, which is where additional experience comes in, posting over 160 wins, several state semifinal runs. Talk to us a little bit about that program and just what that meant and how that just kind of plays into the big picture of everything.
So, you know, what we did when I was coaching you, we had Coach Eric Blumenstock was our younger coach who took over for us. He wanted to bring back that Legion program that had went away sometime in the late 90s. I think 98 was the last year. He brought it back in 2014, but the idea was for, you know, area talent to come in and play in front of the young kids at the little league level, so they had something to look forward to. When we were young, we got to watch these incredible teams come into town, and it made us want to play. So to try to build our programs, we wanted to show them good baseball and something to aspire to. Well, he brought that program back, and I think they had, you know, 4 or 5 wins over the first three years there. And he finally, you know, took me to a golf course and, you know, bought me a drink, and I found out I was becoming the new Legion coach. So it started rough. We had 4 guys at my first tryout, but, you know, over time we built it. We ended up having 5 teams at 5 different age groups. We had over 100 kids try out every year, but we started having a lot of success.
For the folks in the Greenville area who don't follow Greenville closely, obviously we cover a lot of MAC action, but you are our southerly neighbors. When it comes to what should they know or what you want them to know, what Greenville baseball to feel like when they go to a game or when you think of Greenville baseball?
I want Greenville baseball to be known for what we bring onto the field every single time. Something I built with my teams. I think people knew what they were getting when we came there. We're not chirpy. We're not going to get into it with players. We're not, you know, overly confident. We don't expect any special favors or anything. We just want to come in and do our business, play good competitive baseball, and, you know, hopefully go home on the winning edge of that more often than not.
Always a good thing when you can get the W in the win column.
Absolutely.
When you were introduced, you talked about discipline, teamwork, passion. What does that look like in real life and on a Tuesday practice in upcoming March and into the season?
Well, so, I mean, what we're working on with just the last 2 days that we've been going through, we've tried to put a lot of stock into building up, I guess, the skills that scale. We're trying to increase bat speed, we're trying to increase foot speed, we're trying to increase arm strength. Like, so we're trying to get bigger, we're trying to get faster, and we're trying to get stronger. You know, something that I try to do with my athletes is I try to introduce a lot of competitiveness. We're not just here running it against ourselves. We're trying to, you know, compete. I'm trying to send home winners and losers every single day. You can probably recall, you know, if we weren't going to be a good, successful baseball team, we would have made a heck of a speedball team. You know, there's always some sort of way that we can compete, you know, and to try to encourage that competitive nature. And, you know, what we saw, like when we would try to build that culture before, I remember taking the seniors and they would pick the teams of whatever competition we were doing. And when it first started, they're picking their buddies, they're picking the best players too there. But by the end of the season, you had seniors picking the guys that are normally going last to challenge themselves. And those guys that were being picked first were the guys that were being picked last. So you saw guys inviting the competition, rising to the occasion, and just, you know, having a great time being teammates and, you know, playing for each other.
And, you know, a lot of programs talk culture. And it's a fancy word that a lot of inside sports, business, we all talk about culture. What are some non-negotiables for your program this year?
I kind of tell all the guys ahead of time, like, The only thing I ask you to bring to practice is your compete. If you bring your compete every single day to practice, I'll supply the rest. You know, you come in here, look to get better, hustle on and off the field, play the game the right way, you know, keep your mouth shut around officials and the other team. And, you know, we're going to have a really successful season.
You've seen Greenville baseball from the inside for years, from freshman coach, varsity assistant, now the head job. What do you think this program is capable of when it's clicking?
I think 1,000% we should be back to that level that, you know, we left it a long time ago. And I can't speak for, you know, the classes that have been since 2011. And now, I mean, there's been some talented people going through there. And I think our last winning season was 2014. But, you know, with the infrastructure we have in Greenville, if you go to Greenville, you see the Little League diamonds, you see what we're looking at. If you follow our social media, you see the facilities that we get to work out in. There's not a lot of reason that we're not putting consistent, you know, product out there on the field. And, you know, what I've kind of talked about with some people or anyone that'll listen, basically, you know, I feel like it's on us as a high school program. If these players are going to be playing for us one day, then maybe we should be doing more to go and, you know, provide that knowledge to the younger kids, incentivize them to stick with the program and get better. And, you know, that's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to build.
You know, I remember growing up playing Little League ball. You play on those four small diamonds, then you get the bump up and then you're throwing off the mound. And then you start looking over and you see the big diamond seven. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I'm going to play on that field. And it was always really cool because, you know, it had the in the ground dugouts. It really felt like baseball, mm-hmm. wooden wall. And just from a high school standpoint, one of the more underrated facilities in high school baseball for the area.
Yeah, and it's actually going to get a lot better. We're putting artificial turf on the field right now as we speak.
There we go. I didn't know about that update. Other things, you know, speaking of facilities, though, I'm familiar with it. We called it the yard. Mm-hmm. It just got a major upgrade. Anything you want to update on that with the yard and how that's going to affect just not only the youth, but also the high school kids?
Well, I think it's going to impact us. It's a huge benefit to our program. You know, from what you remember, it was a long rectangle that we would play on. Well, they've knocked out a couple walls, and I mean, we have a full warehouse to work in. The Jones family invested. There's a HitTrax machine that we have in the back, so the kids can go in there. They see their velocities. You know, they can play those kind of games, and you're getting that real-world feedback in a cage versus, you know, I always tell people they spend all winter hitting cage bombs, and then they find out they're infield pop-ups when they go out onto a field. But now you get to see the exit velocity. You get to see where the ball goes. So we have that, but then we have three professional mounds inside that we can set up. We have the plate mats there, but we still have all the room. We still have the two sliding cages that we can pull down. So in any given day, we can have three different cages running with three machines. And we still have, you know, what used to be our tee station, which was right off the entrance, is now full of, I'm just estimating, at least $10,000 worth of road gear back in there. So now we're getting into, I've got, you know, a couple kids at Wright State playing right now, and I've kind of, you know, begged, borrowed, and stealed their weight programs. But, you know, we're now doing professional weight programs in the back of that facility with, you know, incredible weights.
Which is a great relay into player development. And what do you want your athletes improving the most from day one to the end of the season?
I guess as a player, I'm looking for us not to make the same mistakes again. Obviously, baseball is a game that's based upon failure. You know, your best hitters, they get on base 40% of the time. Your best pitchers, they still give up two or three runs a game. So there's a lot of failure involved. So, you know, what I want them, I guess, is to continuously get better every single day, be able to look past the bad things that happen. I always tell them, you know, baseball is a sport where you can go 0-for-3 with three strikeouts and still be the hero of the game. But if you're thinking about the three strikeouts, you're probably not in any better position to not have a fourth. So it's just a game. And, you know, something I've done in the past, we had a Fisher-Price toilet in our dugout. And my thing was like, we're going to flush the bad stuff. And when something would happen, the guys would have to go in, they would flush the toilet, the little blue background lights up and it makes a noise and it says, yay, at the end. And the kids just got a kick out of it. So this became a thing. So every time someone struck out, made an error, something like that, they came in, they flushed it and it was gone. But the magic of that moment was by the end of the year, I had a kid, a Missinawa kid, Trent Collins, hits a home run over left center fence, comes around, hits home plate, hits everybody's hands on the way back, walks in, flushes it. That home run doesn't mean he's going to hit another one. It's in the past. You know what I mean? And they get it. You know, baseball, it's not built upon what you did. It's about what you can and will do.
Is there a skill you think high school players overlook most?
Physical fitness. You know, you have a lot of parents will come to you and they'll say, who should I send my kid to for lessons? You know, what's going to be the best route for them? Can I take extra ground balls? And all that stuff is good. But, you know, what I try to tell people, the same field that you're standing on when you're standing at shortstop, that's the same distance that Ellie De La Cruz is throwing it across the infield. And what's the difference between you and him, you know? And, you know, the fact of the matter is, Ellie's throwing it 100 miles an hour. He's running, you know, what is saying 23 miles an hour now. They got him clocked at running. But, you know, it's athleticism. And, you know, I always tell people, I can make you a good baseball player during the season. I can't make you a better athlete outside of it if you're not willing to put in that time.
And who are the leaders on this team and what does leadership mean for you?
So I'm big on setting by example. You know, everybody has a different, you know, leadership style. Just, you know, going back to when you were in school, I know Andrew McKenzie was a few years above you, but he was a very vocal and lead by example type guy. You wanted to do well for him and he was going to be right there and be your biggest fan. You know, you played with Tripp Davis. When Tripp was on the mound, he was like, he was almost Max Scherzer. You didn't talk to him. You know what I mean? You left Tripp alone. He wouldn't yell at you if you did, but he'd just ignore you. You know what I mean? It's like we used to have mound visits and I only had to do yes, no answers to Tripp because he doesn't hear me. You know, he's in his zone. But you know, Tripp was a very lead by example, do things the right way. And you saw him and you wanted to work harder because he was working harder. But I think, you know, this year I only have three returning lettermen. I only had one returning senior. But those juniors that are back, you know, I look for them to set an example. I mean, they have the experience, they've been there, you know, incredible group of kids, but I want them to go out there and make sure that they're seeing what everybody else is doing and trying to bring them up to that level as well.
In a lot of towns, travel ball can pull kids in different directions. What's your message to families about staying invested in the high school program, building something together? As much as, you know, kids do admire making it to the college level, maybe trying to take it further, but sometimes we get maybe too wrapped up in that.
I do think that to an extent. You know, the thing about summer travel ball is your goal should be to be better for your high school team. Whatever you do over the summer should be able to something you can bring back and do with your friends, with your classmates, and put a banner that's going to be up in that school forever. As opposed to, you know, just putting a little bit extra money in a coach's pocket that's playing over the summer. I'm an advocate. Like, I grew up with the Acme system and what we all did with schools playing together. But, you know, I feel like a lot of my guys are playing travel ball, but I want them to come back and play midweek games with their friends and Acme team because, like, you know, with Tripp was playing for the Cincinnati Flames as a pitcher on the weekends. But at Greenville, he was still our left fielder and our five hill. You know, we still need to get some ABs over the summer. And, you know, looking from the same point, I got, you know, one of my, you know, better players is a shortstop for the prospects. Well, he's probably going to play a big role pitching for me. So I was like, you know, if you can go do that on innings, let's see if we can get, you know, some other stuff here. But I think at the end of the day, you want your kids to play and participate in a summer program and get those extra games because you can't coach that all the time. But you know, some kids are going to be a lot better. If you have a kid that's good enough to play for Midland, he's not going to get a lot out of playing some local ball around here. Have him go play at Midland, you know, and that kind of works across the spectrum.
Case by case basis,
athletes. Play to the level that is going to challenge you to get better and then take that back to your program.
Greenville's in the Miami Valley League. What's your early read, for the season and what kind of baseball do you expect, out of the league this year?
So, I mean, we have, you know, I say fortunate, but in reality, probably the unfortunate, you know, pleasure of facing Butler twice, facing Troy twice. And then, you know, Tip has been just as good as anybody the last few years facing them twice when, you know, arguably the bottom feeders of the, of our league is us and Piqua, who've always been pretty traditionally strong baseball schools, you know you're in for a heck of a challenge. So I think the last few years, just looking at the numbers, there's an MVL North and an MVL South, and Greenville and Piqua will almost sweep the South and then get beat, you know, in the North. So it's great baseball. And, you know, and it's, you're looking at Butler, there's a D1 catcher already committed at Troy. There's another one at Tip. Butler just signed two of their juniors to Ohio State, you know, a couple of weeks ago. There's talent all over the place, but you know, it's, we're going to go out there. We put our pants on the same way they do. You know, we're going to go out there and look for a win.
If someone comes out to watch Greenville for the first time this year, what style of baseball will they see? You know, aggressive on the bases, pitching first, small ball. What does your style look like?
So I'm very big on teaching the game and being adaptable. I love to run. I love to run. I love to put the ball in play. And you know that. I mean, Ryan and I, I don't know how many times we would steal third and hit and run. You know, we were always trying to put something into motion, you know, and take the chance that the catcher is not going to be able to make a play. But when I don't have a fast team, I don't really have that option, you know. So I put a lot into base running a few years ago, went to a seminar like a lot of coaches have, with Matt Tallarico, who's at Wright State now, I believe he's with the Cubs, and doing vault leads and different ways of running the bases. That summer, I kind of implemented that policy, and I think I was 81 for 95 over the summer on stolen base attempts. Mm-hmm. I also had some horses that could get up and move, but you know, once everybody kind of bought into the program, we didn't have an issue. It wasn't really close. We stole third, like, you know, the cardinal rule, don't steal third with two outs. We did it all summer, you know, and I think we've thrown out once or twice. But if it was there, the kids made the read themselves, and I haven't given a steal sign in almost 4 years. I put on green lights and red lights, you know, but, you know, if it's there, if you get thrown out, what'd you see? They can tell me. I'm like, well, coach, it was, you know, 1-2, and he hadn't thrown a curveball in those first three pitches. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that. If you had a reason, you know, I can adjust your reason. I can't, you know, but that's, we kind of put those things in place, taught them how to do it, and they went off and did it.
I remember playing ball, and you know, it was just put the ball in play somewhere. Even if it's a ground ball, the kid still has to field it.
Right.
And to your notion to running the bases, if you're going to steal, the catcher still actually has to make a good throw, and all these things have to happen. So if you put yourself in a position to at least for something to happen, then it's going to happen.
See, now we look at metrics, right? So we teach a 12-foot lead. Yeah, 12-foot lead. So how fast can you run 78 feet? If my runner runs a 4-2 or 4-3, that's 78 feet. If I got a pitcher, I try to train my pitchers. I want the ball in the catcher's hand in 1.5 seconds. So the time we break to the time it hits a pitcher's gloves, I want 1.5. If my catcher is 2.1 to second base, then I know I'm 3.6. And if I can hit 3.6, I know who I can throw out and who I can't. The same way as a base runner. If we get the time on the pitcher and catcher, I've got an entire list of, you know, 78 foot times, and here's my green list, here's my yellow list, and here's my red list not to run. So, you know, it's a science at this point.
Definitely did not have those metrics when I was in ball.
Right.
Wow.
There was a lot of feel. So I'm from the old school, I know how the old school works, but when you have that base of knowledge of the old school and able to apply the new stuff and what works, you can be dangerous with it.
So the first season coming up, practice has already started. What does a good season look like for you in year one?
Honestly, I expect, you know, I want to get back those games against Butler, those games against Troy and Tip. A lot of those are 20 plus to very few games, and there's a lot of run rules in there. Kind of when I came back, I feel like no matter how good a team is, we should be competing with that team and not having those kind of blowouts right there. You know, to be honest, I returned 8 innings on the mound. I had one senior coming back, and I had 3 sophomores that had lettered. So my team's completely open. I have some talented sophomores that I feel are going to make a difference. I got a very small freshman class, and kind of a cool thing, when I had one returning senior, I've now got 10 seniors playing this year. So I got guys that have played 16 U for me that are coming back. I don't know if they're going to be able to hit a fastball. Yeah, I haven't played for a few years, but they're coming back. we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I expect, you know, double digit wins. You know, I want to do some damage. I want to be a factor in the conference championships or with the conference standings. And, you know, I'm going to win a couple of games in the tournament, too.
Sounds like a plan, Coach.
Yep.
What do you want the Greenville community to know about this group of players?
You're going to be proud of them. You know, I kind of tell people, you know, what do you expect? And, you know, everybody kind of, when I took the job, they're like, you know, careful what you get into. It's, you know, and the two of our best players transferred out before I got hired. So it was kind of, you know, careful what you get into. But these guys have put in a lot of work. We started a throwing program in September. We did just bulk lifting in November. And we've been doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday workouts since December 1st. So the kids that were not involved in a fall or in a winter sport, they've been out there grinding. I mean, I think they're exciting, you know, and I think anytime you get a new coach, there's some excitement, you know, regardless of how many good or not, you know, people are excited. They're looking at something, but we've put the program in place and they've accepted it and they're excelling at it. So I think this consistency is going to show up on the field. And, you know, I think we're just going to, we're going to start here at this level and we're going to finish up on this level. And over the next couple of years, we're going to keep on having a higher floor that's going to give us a higher ceiling.
Well, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the Greenville program. I know what it meant for me playing Greenville ball. And I knew your coaching style. And that's one thing that I think I appreciate of a lot of any of my high school coaches, you and Feely. You set a standard of if you want to play, you have to put the work in.
Right.
And, you know, it's not about maybe being the fastest. Might not even be being the smartest. But if you can hit the ball and do the right things, play hard, you're going to get playing time. And I just did my best to work on that and found myself with playing time. Not in necessary spots. It was really hard playing behind Mark Shields at first base.
You drew a wrong one on that one.
But at the end of the day, I'm not in charge of that. So, you know, as an athlete, you just try to put yourself in the best position to find playing time. And
yeah. And I try to preach, you know, one of the pillars is vulnerability, you know, being able to go in there and accept your failures, be able to deal with it, you know, feel your feels and get back out there. You know, the world's not over. Sun still comes up tomorrow. We lost today. This is what we did wrong. We're going to forget it by tomorrow. We're going to come back and, you know, it's what's the definition of insanity? Same thing. And expecting different results. That's what we do as baseball players.
Well, thank you, Chad. Good luck with the season. We're going to wrap it up. I'll be back here with lasting thoughts. But otherwise, I want to thank Chad for coming in.
Appreciate it, Keys.